What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well met, fellow adventurers. Now, we're doing various smaller adventures while we just check out, while the Crumbling Tower does whatever it is that the Crumbling Tower does. Now, that's good. It's going to probably take about a week or so for that to finish cooking its ogre, which will then presumably attack me immediately. Or whatever. But in the interim, I'm just randomly selecting from... I've used random.org to find myself an adventure from the event, from my current adventures. There are other non-adventure things, like the Proving Grounds. But anyhow, it just so happened that the adventure that turned up was the end of your rope. An overcast evening in early summer finds you relaxing in some familiar surroundings. Let us begin. Be normal or scaled? Let's go scaled. Here we go. Standing just over your shoulder as you casually poke at the bed of glowing timbers in the hearth. Pudipore, Stoneback's beloved tavern keep, enthusiastically and somewhat unnecessarily recounts the performance just given by the trickster, the old grey-bearded man, who shrewdly bartered with Pillipore, trading an hour's worth of his simple but entertaining tricks for a meal and two flagons of ale, was well received by the handful of patrons lingering about the tavern's common room on this overcast afternoon in early summer.
"I don't know which I liked best," says Pillipore, turning to cast an annoying look at the two men
taking note of a small leak in the roof. Well, you should probably get round to fixing that, otherwise it might become a large leak. And then no one really wants to be in a tavern where you get rained on. I mean, not getting rained on is part of the reason why you're inside. His chair trip or his rope trick, both were astounding, of course. Glad he stopped by. Hope to pass away a grey day like this. Yeah, if you'd like to know the truth, Sir Crokerton, I'd have parted with quite a few more ales if he'd bargained harder. While fondly recalling the trickster's final act, where a twirling and looping length of rope seemed to take on a life of its own, you're startled to spot the very rope in question coiled up in the far corner. "Can you imagine him just leaving that behind?" says Pillipore, who apparently has also just taken notice of the rope. He's only just left a few minutes ago. "Perhaps you'll be kind enough to catch up with him? I'm sure he'll be glad to have it back." "There'll be ale waiting for you when you get back, mind." Not willing to turn turned down Pinnipore's offer, though you're determined to hold him to his word, you head over to snatch up the rope. Crossing the common room, you glance out through the half-open door and up at the low, churning ceiling of deep grey clouds. A cool breath of air slips into the tavern and washes up to meet you, leaving you hoping you can return the rope and be back before the outset of the impending storm. As you approach the rope, the length of braided fires begins to twitch, elicting a gasp from Pinnipore, who immediately falls back several feet. Without further warning, the rope suddenly rises into the air and twists its top end into a large loop. Then, manoeuvring of unnerving swiftness, the rope streaks towards you, manoeuvring to place the loop over your head. Oh, no, not my head! I need that! For breathing and things. Anyway, picking a number. Bonus, 37. 20 from agility, 10 from body, 7 from luck. I can boost the luck a bit if I equip the quick stab dagger. I'll refresh. Yes, okay. Putting on the quick stab dagger has got the luck bonus to 10 and thus the total bonus to 40, which is as high as it can possibly get. Unless those secret powers of the Quickstone ever turn out to be anything, because they might allow you to break 20 in those stats. Who knows? But as far as everything in the game currently, 40 is the maximum bonus you can get. Although I think there might be some special flash the actual wheel cash items that can help you, like that imp would help. All right, picking it anyway. Got to get 75 or more or it will choke me and that'll be bad. Pick now. 68, failure. You manage to dodge the rope's attack, but the sinister strand manages to cast its looped net end over your head and promptly clinches around your neck. You struggle to breathe as the rope tightens its grip. Alright, I take 5 damage. Alright, what do I do now? What do I do now? The rope continues to tighten around your neck, its rugged fibres biting into your flesh as you struggle to draw breath. Well, at least it's going for a regular choke, not the suddenly break your neck sort of thing that a well designed hanging would do, because what's supposed to happen is they drop and they go and dead. But of course, since they're someone you want to execute, they're not gonna go that. They're often not that concerned about being nice, because, you know, executing people. So sometimes it's just choke, 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 and it takes a long time. All right, picking a number. Bonus of 40. 20 from might, 10 from body, 10 from agility. All right, this is going to use my power to breathe really hard. All right, got to get 75 or more. Well, I'll probably start to get some sort of lack of oxygen effects. Pick now. 58. The rope tightens again around your neck. I take another 8 damage. Okay. Gotta get out of here. Okay. I might, if it comes to this. Okay, can I use my dagger to just chop it off? No, because my neck's in the way. With the frantic shouts of the tavern patrons ringing in your ears, you struggle to draw breath and free yourself from the deadly grip of the rope. Picking a number, a bonus of 40. 20 from agility, 10 from body, 10 from luck. Gotta get 75 or more. Oh, well, I think it might start getting a bit dire if I'm being choked for this long. Pick now. 104, success. A profound sense of relief washes over you as you manage to slip your head out of the rope's deadly, constricting loop. Oh, and I've just checked the wiki. It turns out that it's very handy to have, you know, other people around you while you're in dire peril. Because if the worst comes to worst, they just are not. They just take the people around you, get it off you. Very handy. And, of course, it makes sense. This is actually probably one of the few where you fail a check that should kill you, but then you somehow do all right. It suddenly starts choking you less. This is probably one of the cases where, okay, yeah, actually that makes sense. It's not we don't want to have a death check here, because those are really annoying. When if you roll wrong and you're dead. Nobody likes that. Okay, maybe some people do, but it doesn't feel satisfying. Gasping for breath, you instinctively assume a defensive stance as the enchanted rope swiftly draws up in front of you, its opposite end now lashing the air like a whip. With Pilipor and the other patrons standing back, you defiantly prepare to engage the floating menace alone. This is the trickster's rope. It's scaled to some sort of blue, maybe it's 9 plus. No, it's 11 plus. Now you can kill it, which admittedly would probably make the trickster rather angry. I mean, it's not the rope's fault that a magic cast on it went weird. So, subdue. The enchanted rope savagely whips at you. Okay. Yeah, okay. Someone probably has to redo whatever magic's on this, because it's gone a bit off. You've subdued your foe. 24 XP. The enchanted rope falls into a neatly coiled heap at your feet. However, before you can lean down to examine the curious and deadly piece of rope, it suddenly stirs. You fall back and draw yourself into a combat-ready stance as the coiled rope rises into the air, weaving wildly. With the tavern patrons and Pilipor shouting their encouragement, you bravely hold your ground as the enchanted rope again assails you. Fortunately, I'm using my toady slipperiness to make it difficult for it to tie me up. Or something like that. Begin combat with the trickster's rope. Once again, you can kill or quit combat, which would also kill it. Or, well, destroy it, I guess. Or you could subdue it. Subduing is mechanically better and won't piss off a mage, which is always a good thing to avoid. Which is always something you should consider. Don't piss off a wizard. You never know what they're going to do. You have subdued. I will subdue this enemy. The enchanted rope savagely whips at you. Alright, it did me a brutal blow for some damage. And it is subdued. 24 XP. The enchantment of devastation helped me score one roll of 20. Very nice. Once again, the enchanted rope drops to the floor at your feet. This time, however, the rope does not coil itself. Instead, it continues to writhe about wildly until you fall back and draw yourself into combat-ready stance as the coiled rope rises into the air, writhing wildly. With the tavern patrons and Pilipor shouting their encouragement, you bravely hold your ground as the enchanted rope again assails you. It seems to be weakening because its difficulty is now only grey. Begin combat Once again, subdue it. Chanted rope savagely whips at you. Keep going. Brutal blow for 2 damage. It's not that strong at all, is it? It is subdued. Another 24 XP. The enchanted rope falls to the floor at your feet. Not taking any chances. You immediately deal the tattered strand another blow. For several moments, the rope remains motionless. Until you fall back and draw yourself into combat-ready stance as the coiled rope rises into the air, writhing wildly. With the tavern patrons and Pilipor shouting their encouragement, you bravely hold your ground as the enchanted rope again assails you. This is a trickster's rope. Begin combat. I'm going to subdue it again. After all, I spent so long subduing it, it would be kind of a waste for me to go for smashing now. Especially since it's mostly gone. It's lost most of its oomph. Chanted rope savagely whips at you. It's mostly down and it is subdued. But will it stay? Apparently yes. 24 experience and 128 experience to general. You step back and watch with a mix of amazement and alarm as the enchanted rope again swiftly coils itself into a neat heap. Still twitching slightly. The rope shows no further signs of any immediate aggression. After several tense moments have passed, you conclude that the deadly, tattered strand is at last finished. Are you all right? Asks Pitipor, suddenly appearing at your side. Don't go near that again. Let's just leave it there and we'll... Suddenly, the tavern door flies open. And the trickster, his long grey beard and fanciful attire stoked by the steady rain now falling, steps into the tavern, wiping the water from his face as he curses the turn in the weather. For either you or Pilipor can say anything about the rope, which, thankfully, remains coiled on your floor at your feet, the old man washes over to where you stand. Ineffectively pushing you aside, the trickster scoops up the somewhat frayed but otherwise intact rope and cradles it gently in his arms. After just a few moments, however, his eyes narrow and he casts his accusatory gaze at both you and Pilipor. Hey, it tried to kill me. Yeah, you shouldn't do that. You should, you know, watch your enchantments. Think of it, he spat. I leave behind something of mine for mere moments, and this is what comes of it. All within the sound of my voice. A very lucky that nothing worse has happened to my rope. No, Dinipore. That will be many a day ere I return to this wretched den of rogues. Probably for the best, really. You know, considering, you know, it's trying to kill people. We really don't want that to happen. When we've had enough bad times in Hawklaw lately without people randomly getting choked by a magic rope. The trickster, still cradling his precious rope, announces a curse on all present and promptly storms out of the tavern, not bothering to close the door behind him. The few lingering patrons seem to pay no mind to his toothless threat and quickly return to their previous affairs. Less than a minute after his blustery departure, the din of the stone-back tavern's common room again settles into the low, frothing murmur of friendly conversation. Well, an end has come of it. That much we know for sure, says Pilipor, shaking his head as he moves over to close the door left open by the departing trickster. I must say, Sir Crookton, I don't think I'll ever look at another piece of rope quite the same again. As you retake your seat at the table closest to the hearth, Pinafore sits himself down opposite you, his large hands surrounding a steaming mug of paleo. He raises the mug and nods, saluting you with a simple gesture, before gingerly sipping at the flavourful brew that fills the vessel. You're about to inquire about the ale you were promised, figuring you earned at least that much for your tussle with the enchanted rope, but before you've spoken a single word, Pinafore waves his hand, and the young lad hurries over with a frothing flagon of the tavern's best. The tavern keeper nods at you and then winks. "Might just help ward away the chill of a rainy day," he mutters, glancing at the door. "A rainy, rotten day. It's almost over, though, and there's always a chance we'll see the sun tomorrow. And that is the end of this adventure, end of your rope." And it, well, it actually isn't the end of the rope, and it's not my rope. So, but, well, I guess he had to do that to make it line up with the phrase. And I get 128 experience to general for finishing it. And that is that. Wait, is something... I think something new might have just turned up. Yeah, I think Pinafore's request. Pinafore's unexpected request captures you completely off guard. Well, I might as well do this now. Start the adventure. Here we go. It is a frigid, late autumn wind rattles the tavern's shuttered windows through. Above the bolsterous din that fills the stone bag, it is only just barely noticeable. Pinafore, his arms laden with firewood, strides past the table at which you've taken up residence, pausing to say that he has something to discuss with you. "I'll be back in a moment," he says. "Don't go wandering away just yet." As the tavern keep brussels off towards the fireplace with an armload of fuel, you turn your attention to the paleo resting before you on the edge of the vet table. A vessel filled with ale or paleo. I don't think this means anything, but it's autumn, it's frigid, so I think I'm going to need some paleo, some nice warm paleo. You're taking only a couple of sips of your paleo when the tavern keeper appears out of the throng of patrons and seating himself at your otherwise empty table. "How's the brew?" he asks, nodding at your steaming vessel. "I didn't make it, but I had just a bit of it earlier. Seems strong, maybe a bit bitter, but that's how I best like it." "I won't stand for poor paleo." Before you can respond to his inquiry, Pinafore smiles and slaps the edge of his table. "Now, nothing about that," he says. "I've something a bit more important to discuss with you." Pinafore seems hesitant to begin, folds his hand behind his head and leans back in his chair. Then he suddenly unfolds them and places them on the table, where his fingers begin drumming out a frantic, scattered beat. "You see, I have a sort of favour I wish to ask of you," he says. Pinafore clears his throat, glances around, and then leans in across the table, as if he fears being overheard. "It's about this old place, the tavern," he says. "Or perhaps more to the point, about something here in the tavern. Something very near and dear to me. But something about which something must be done." Okay, there seems to be a hard thing to say. So he's taking quite a while. "I continue to listen politely. Tell Pinafore to get to the point or reassure him." "I'll reassure him." "Yes, of course, you're right," he says, nodding. After listening, you tell him he doesn't have to be afraid to say what he wishes to say. "Thank you, Sir Quirkington. You're a good friend. You set my mind at ease about it." Pinafore sighs and seems to relax. "It's just not an easy thing for me to say," he says. "But it needs to be said, and I can't fear saying. All right, I'll say.
Yes, I'm ready to say it. Are you ready? I'm ready. Here, I'll just say it.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I was wondering, being the kind-hearted lady of means that you are, and you'll never convince me otherwise, that you would do me the great favour and even greater honour henceforth of looking after and seeing to the needs of a dear soul very precious to me, but whose time within these walls must, at last, out of great necessity, made short. Short as possible. You certainly feel something brushing up against your leg. Glancing down, you spot Candles, Pitipaw's scrawny, beloved feline, wrapping her long tail around your calf. Candles mews twice and rubs her head against your side. You look up and lock eyes with Pitipaw. The tavern keep nods. In an instant, you realise you've just been asked, in a very roundabout way, to adopt his cat. Ooh, yeah, well, I guess it makes sense. I have this grand residence, and it's got, you know, people there to look after him. Him even when I'm off doing adventures, which is a lot. Pillipore's unexpected request, now deciphered, has caught you completely off guard. With the subject of his entreaties still moving about at your feet, and now and again rubbing her head against your leg, Davenkeep looks at you expectantly. "I can only say that she's become somewhat of a nuisance about this old place," he says, shaking his head and closing his eyes, as if the admission pains him. Nipping patrons, snatching at their belongings, and any number of other undesirable sort of things. She needs peace and quiet, some place she can roam and explore without folks tripping over her. Cursing at her, Pitipaw places his hands flat on the table and sighs. "I don't know what else you've got roaming the halls of Oak Road Keep," he says, "but I'm willing to wager you haven't a noble beast like Candles. What do you say to it, my friend? Could you see to giving old Candles the home she deserves? She and I would be forever in your debt." "Well, obviously. I mean, theoretically you can decline, but I don't know if anyone's actually ever done that. I'm certainly not going to start now. I mean, I haven't just saved, so agree to adopt Candles." Pitipaw exhales loudly and slumps back in his chair when you tell him that you will gladly adopt his beloved cat. As if he's somehow aware of what has just taken place, Candles leaps onto your lap, curls up into a ball, and purling orderly, proceeds to fall asleep. "A great weight off my mind," says Pitipaw, smiling. "I'm going to miss the old gal, but she deserves this. I can't thank you enough, my friend. You've made me and Candles very, very happy. Come, let's make the proper arrangements." Cradling Candles in your arms, you follow Pitipaw into the room at the back of the cavern. There, he directs you to a wooden cage set upon a cluttered table. He tells you he had the cage built specifically for holding Candles, for he's never before had a reason to make use of it. "That should suffice for your journey to your new home," he says, affectionately rubbing Candles' sleek, slender face. "I wish you both nothing but the best. If I'm to be If I'm to be any sort of mark, I'm sure that Candles will soon cast a spell on you too, my friend. She's quite the cat. Make no mistake about it. As you prepare to set out, Candles curled up atop a large crumpled cloth sack inside the wooden cage. Pelopo again thanks you and tells you that he is in your debt. Goodbye, my friend, says Pelopor, smiling kindly as he reaches through the wooden bars of the cage and stokes the top of the cat of Candle's head. You behave yourself and keep well. You briefly place the cage on the floor so you can meet the tavern keep in a shoulder cross before making your way out of the stone back, eager to transport your adopted pet to a new home. Now, that home is in Western Tysa, so that's quite a distance away from Hawklaw in Southwest Tysa. So, Candles is going to have to meet my horses. My horses, Baroness and Stormgate. Alright. You briefly place the cage on the floor so you can meet the tavern keep in the shoulder cross before making your way out of the stone back, eager to transport your adopted pet to her new home. Stepping away from the tavern, you turn and look back. There, standing in the doorway, his eyes glistening in the pale glow of the afternoon sun, is Pelopor. He waves, steps back, slowly closes the door. Candles meows, turns once, and sinks back into the comfortable cloth heap at the bottom of the cage. Candles will now be present at Oakenwold Keep. And that finishes this adventure with 16 XP to general. But of course, the real point of this is when I go to my residence. Return to the residence. Here is Oakenwold Keep. It has a grandeur score of 102. Although that grandeur score does not take into account Candles being there. Because if it took that into account, it'd be several thousand. Because Candles is just that good. Candles sits nearby, grooming herself. Alright, and you can look at your functional upgrades, the Hall of Living Statues. And okay, I just fight one of them. Fighting a Living Knight statue. 35 combat experience, 96 experience in general. Yeah. Anyway, that's the same as it always is. Here's the Library of Arcanium, where you can get bonuses to magic and things. And there's a coachman who can... Oh, yep, Candles is near the coachman. No doubt getting many pets. Yeah, many pets and probably making good friends with the horses. And, you know, probably dealing with any mice that might, you know, be going for the hay. Yes, there's Candles. Candles sits nearby, purring contently. Candles dashes through, chasing something. Candles sits nearby, purring contently. Candles strolls by, meowing loudly. Candles lies curled up there, resting peacefully. Yeah, so you get... So you get a little random notes about what Candles the cat is doing. Candles sits nearby, watching you intensely. Candles strolls by, meowing loudly. And so on. There's not really anything you can... There's no buttons you can click, though. Presumably because you just do it. You just do all that stuff automatically. Because of course you did. You will. You promised. And so you will. or you'll ensure, if you're not currently in a position to do it because you're on some sort of epic adventure, possibly on the other side of the kingdom, or even beyond the kingdom, you'd ensure that you can get someone to fill in for you in the time. Anyhow, what to do next? I think we can squeeze one more adventure out. Alright, Snowy Dusk, Ancient of Basque, The Cabin, Deep in the Forest. I'm going to do an Agent in Black, which means I've got to go back all the way to Hawklaw. Bye-bye, Candles. Alright, adventures for this location. An Agent in Black. The young woman straightens her dark attire and smiles. Then, with something of a flourish, she produces from her satchel a heavy, leather-bound book and carefully lays the weighted tome upon the table. Start adventure. Here we go. And that, lass Pillipore, slapping the table as he rises from his length, is the last time we ever saw him around here. Miserable little rat. That's the whole... That whole story's truth, mind. Stoneback's beloved property steps away from the table, having, thankfully, concluded a rather long-winded tale about the downfall of a local ruffian. The door opens and a young woman garbled almost entirely in black steps into the common room. Pillipore casts you a wary gaze and motions with his head in the direction of the new arrival. "That's the one you've been waiting for," he says, walking past you as he heads for a room at the back of the tavern. "I would wager 1,000 gold, that's the one. Mind yourself now." The young woman throws back her hood and removes a pair of black gloves, which she promptly stuffs into the outer pocket of her long dark cloak. As if she knows you by sight, she smiles, waves, and makes her way over to your table by the fire. "Sir Croakington, well met," she says, as you hop onto a table and meet her in a shoulder cross. "This little place is a little more remote than I was led to believe. Do you spend much time here?" "I have to assume that you receive Master Huron's note." "Good. Then it won't surprise you to know that I'm Avelia, Huron's apprentice." You welcome Avelia to Hawklaw, and no sooner has she taken a seat at the table, pausing to deposit a leather sack on the floor, does Pillipore appear and set down 2 steaming mugs of pale ale. Olivar smiles at the tavern keep and compliments him on his establishment. He thanks her and promptly returns with a wedge of cheese and a half loaf of bread. As Olivar sips at her pale ale and picks at some of the cheese, your mind wanders back to a note delivered you by courier, little over a month ago. You clearly recall the message. "Dearest Sir Croakington, one of my agents, though she would much rather call herself my apprentice, will be seeking you in Hawklaw in a month's time. Her name is Avelia. I hope you still have your quickstone. It's Huron." And that's the message from Huron. I'm guessing it's a quickstone power we're getting. You suddenly realise Avelia is staring at you. Before you can attempt to explain away your momentary lapse of attention, she stands up and retrieves the leather pack resting at the foot of her chair. The young woman straightens her dark attire and smiles. Then, with something of a flourish, she produces from the satchel a heavy, leather-bound book and carefully lays the weighty tome upon the table. She pats the cover once and retakes her seat. "Have you got the quickstone?" she whispers. "Are you expectantly good? Don't take it out. I just need to know that you have it. The less these stones are seen, the better." Avelia opens a book and turns several pages before turning and looking up at you, then speaking slowly, her eyes repeatedly darting to the page open before her. She whispers a few words in what you believe to be an ancient Ardivari dialect. "That's it," she says, smiling as she closes the book and places it back in her pack. Your Quickstone has had one of its more powerful, and I dare say, useful abilities unlocked. Don't ask me anything about it, though, for I know next to nothing about Quickstones. You ask her why Huron chose to unlock this special Quickstone power for you, whatever it is. Master Huron's ways often know little why, more reasons, she says, smirking. There's certainly some purpose behind it, but just what that may be, I'd rather not try to guess. After another mug of paleo and some of the bread, Avelia tells you that she must be on her way. The young woman rises from a table, meets you on the shoulder cross, and again dons her hood and black cloth gloves. She hoists the leather backpack onto her shoulders and bids you farewell. Master Huron will be pleased to know you're doing well, she says. And I'm pleased to have met you. Take care of yourself. With that, she strides out of the tavern. As the door closes behind her, you wonder if you'll ever again set eyes upon Huron's black-clad agent, or, as she seems to prefer saying, apprentice. New Quickstone power! One of the hidden powers hidden within your Quickstone has been unlocked. You can now use your Quickstone to transform specific experience from your skills and powers into general experience. Using this Quickstone power, it will take 2 points of specific experience to create 1 point of general experience. To use the Quickstone power, pay a visit to the windowless building with the blue door in Hawklaw, Talonus, or Trithic, all the battlegrounds for that matter, and select the Quickstone experience conversion option under the section titled Your Quickstone. And that is the end of this adventure. Adventure called The Ancient in Black, and as well as the new Quickstone power, we've got 32 experience to general. Alright, let's have a look at this Quickstone power. Quickstone experience conversion. So, you can transfer any type of specific experience into general. Now, generally, there's two reasons you do this. It's a skill, probably a weaponry sub-skill, that you're not going to use. Or very, very rarely use. Yeah, something like weaponry pole arms. I don't know if I've ever used any equipment that uses the weaponry pole arm skill. So all skills and powers experience that gets to that is probably just going to hang there, unless you feel like just getting your skills up so we can get a slightly higher rank. Well, that's one. The other reason is, if you've already got something past level 100, any specific experience that goes into that is just going to sit there. So you could use that. So you could turn that any excess over 100, for example, quite a few characters I've raised archery to level 100 for the various contests. And then I just transmogrified the extra into general, which also just sat there, but it sat there being at least having the potential to possibly be useful at some point. Okay, so what shall I transmogrify? All right, weaponry pole arms, and you can only ever transfer all of it at once. You can't transfer just a little bit. because, well, honestly, that'll probably be, it'll take a while to program. Well, maybe not a lot while, but it tends to be, if you want to do this, you use all of it. Maybe you might have that. Maybe sometimes you might have another desire. Maybe you just want a little bit of general, so you're just going to tap into something. But no, it's got to be all of it. All right, transform my 50,562 Pacific experience to weaponry pole arms into 25,281 general experience. Transform experience now. Pew! I now have 431,562 general experience. Which is at least something, I guess. And you can transfer more of that if you want, but I don't particularly want. It also gives you a list of how much specific experience you have for your skills and powers. So it might probably maybe a list of things you could go, maybe I can level that up. You know, with less scrolling and less clicking two tabs. That's another advantage of it. Anyhow, there are special packages, but they're all things I've seen before. Yes, Mugapeo, the Blood Snake, the Void Tomes, and Adventure Tokens, which are all very nice. Alright, that's enough messing around in Hawklaw for now. We're going to save, and well, so next time, well, since we're doing adventures in Hawklaw, we might as well do the next ones. Alright, we've done adventures in the tavern, so let's do adventures in the wilds. We've got one called Deep in the Forest, we've got The Cabin, and we have Snowy Dusk. I think those three will probably be enough. Anyhow, until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.